I'm going to preach for a few moments then from Luke 7. It's the faith of the centurion. Here it comes. I'm reading from the NIV. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some of the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Hallelujah. I just want to look at three things from this story tonight. First of all, what the elders thought of the centurion. And then secondly, what the centurion thought of himself. And then thirdly, what Jesus thought of the centurion. So the first thing that I want you to notice is what the elders thought of the centurion. They said to Jesus, this man deserves you to have you do this. An idea that Jesus should answer according to good behaviour. Look what a good citizen he is. Look what he has done. Look how much he's given to charity. Look how honest and upright he is. Look, he's done nothing wrong. He deserves favour. He's even built us a church. And we live in a society that believes in a similar way. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We see it in politics. We see it in America right now with the presidential race. And one of the things that, you know, may be hitting the button that Trump and Bernie Sanders have been saying is that politics is run by big business. Big pharmaceutical giants who donate millions and millions of dollars into the Republican and Democratic funds so that they can have influence on Capitol Hill. So they can have influence over the president, so the president passes bills that is beneficial to them. We pay a lot of money into your campaign so that you get elected, and when you get elected, we expect a favour. We see it at work. Did I ever tell you that I work for Sainsbury's? And you see, it's probably very similar in your work environment. And that is that, you know, when the big boss comes, we have that expression, don't we? You know, that always licking the boss's boots. When the big boss comes, everybody sort of goes out of their way to help the big boss. Would you like a cup of tea, sir? Would you like me to carry your bags? Would you like me to take all your equipment back to your car and put it in the boot for you? Would you like me to do this? Would you like me to do that? Would you like me to polish your shoes? You're hoping to be noticed. Look how good he is, so that in the future there is a favour back. There is promotion. We think one favour deserves another. We go on to think good behaviour deserves a favourable response from Jesus. And we see this idea of good behaviour deserves a reward at home. We say to our children, eat everything up, eat your tea up, and then you can go out to play. Eat your tea up, and then you can play on the computer game. Eat your tea up, and you can watch this DVD. Good behaviour deserves a reward. We see it in our thinking. I believe that if we behave well, we deserve to be blessed, and that God ultimately judges us on how good we've been. And I think probably this idea is more prevalent than we think, because we say sometimes, oh, what have I done to deserve this? When something goes wrong in our lives, we throw up our hands in despair and say, God, what have I done to deserve this? Because we have that kind of thinking that says, well, we've been good, and so we shouldn't have this bad thing happening in my life. And we often might say, such a nice man or such a nice woman, he or she didn't deserve to have this bad thing happen to them. The elders thought Jesus should treat the centurion on the basis of his good behaviour. However, this is not what the centurion thought. Whilst the elders focused on works and behaviour, the centurion focused on grace and undeserving. So number two, what the centurion thought of himself. I don't consider myself worthy to come to you. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. The centurion didn't pull rank and say, look who I am. Don't you know who I am? Look what I have done. Don't you know that I've built a synagogue? No. He says, I am unworthy. I don't deserve you to have you under my roof. It reminds me of all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that no one has done anything that is right, and with that we all fall short of the glory of God. He had that attitude that however good he had done, he still wasn't good enough in the eyes of God. He did not approach Jesus on the basis of who he was, that is the centurion. He approaches Jesus on the basis of who Jesus is. In other words, the centurion approached him not on the basis of it's not all about who I am, but it's about who you, Jesus, are. And tonight when we approach Jesus, it's not on the basis of, Jesus, you ought to heal me, you ought to touch me, you ought to do this thing for me because look how much money I've put in the collection. Jesus, you ought to heal me because look how good a good citizen I am. Jesus, you ought to touch me, you ought to do this for me, you ought to let me into heaven because I'm good. When we approach Jesus tonight, it's not on the basis of who we are and what we have done, but upon who Jesus is and everything that he has done. And so the centurion approached Jesus, recognizing that although the elders said this man deserves for you to hear his prayer, the centurion realized that he was an unworthy person. He recognizes Jesus, who has supreme authority and over sickness, authority over sickness. Maybe he was knowledgeable about the Jews. Obviously, if he had built a synagogue for them, he must have known some of their scriptures. He must have known who they worshipped. He must have been knowledgeable about the Messiah. He knew who Jesus was. He knew that he had authority over all creation. He knew that he had authority over sickness. No doubt he had heard the stories about how Jesus went around healing people. He recognized who Jesus was and who he, the centurion, wasn't. He came to him not on the basis of his own merit, but on the graciousness and the authority of Jesus. He had faith in the authority of Jesus. He had faith in his word. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell you, this one go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this. He had trust, he had faith in the word of Jesus. So number one, what the elders thought of the centurion, he was deserving because he'd done good. The centurion thought that he wasn't deserving, and he was relying upon the graciousness of Jesus. Thirdly, what did Jesus think about the centurion? Jesus was amazed at the faith of the centurion. I tell you, I have not seen such great faith in Israel. Now, of all the people who I've met, Jesus was saying, wow, I've never seen such a man who understands what faith is about and understands about what trust is about. The centurion trusted Jesus to get his prayer answered. He trusted in his supreme authority and his graciousness.
And so the question that I put to you tonight is, as we come to receive from God, are you approaching Jesus on the basis of who you are or on the basis of who he is? Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in Jesus? Because I tell you what will get your prayer answered tonight is that amazing faith that you trust Jesus and you take Jesus at his word. And girls already reminded us tonight that God is a gracious God. He is a loving God. And he desires to give good things to us. And as we approach him, trust him, believe him, and you will not be disappointed.